following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Look and See audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swag Cast.
And here's part two of Swag Cast Hermit's Cave.
The hermit knows of them all. Turn out your lights. Turn them out. Have you heard the story? The House of Purple Shadows? Then listen while the hermit tells you the story.
Yesterday, we weren't so alarmed. When he didn't come to the office this morning, then we concluded something must be wrong.
He's here in the house. We'll find out in a minute, Benson. Yeah.
It's dark in this hallway, Mr. Lamont.
Must be a light switch here somewhere. Ah, yes, here it is.
Ah, there. That's better.
He hasn't been sleeping here at this house for over a year.
No, but they said at the club that he wasn't there yesterday. Hadn't slept in his room there last night.
In that case, he may be here.
That's what I'm afraid of. Maybe he had a stroke or something and wasn't able to get to a phone.
We look upstairs first.
Yes, I think we'd better.
Here's the stairway. It's queer, isn't it? If he came here in the evening, wouldn't he have left some lights on?
That's what I was thinking. It's gloomy in this house. No wonder he shut it all up and went to live at the club after his wife died.
Mr. Davidson has always been a peculiar man. I haven't been his attorney as long as I have without realizing that.
Do you know which bedroom is his?
Yes, I think this one. At least we'll try this room first.
Is it locked?
No, it just seems to stick. Must be the door is swell.
Let me try it, Mr. Lamont.
Oh, I'm getting it now. Here it comes.
Gee whiz.
What's the matter, Benson?
I don't know, but when you opened the door, it was as if something grabbed a hold of my hand.
What?
Well, I know it sounds queer, but it was if an icicle touched
me. It's just the cold air rushing out of this room. It's as black as night in here. Curtains and drapes are heavily drawn. Now, if I can find a light in here.
Oh, here it is, Mr. Lamont.
Not in here.
No, not here. Maybe this isn't his room.
If he's going to stay in the house, he'd sleep in here.
This room hasn't been touched for a long time, has it?
Well, I guess not.
Mr. Lamont, isn't it queer that this room should be so cold?
Well, no, there's nothing strange about that. A room that's all closed up gets damp and cold.
I have a feeling that it's going to start snowing in here any minute. This cold air seems to freeze your very blood.
Mr. Benson, I don't think your employer stayed in this house night before last. I don't think anyone's been in this house for a long time.
Well, then, where is he?
I don't know. We look in the other rooms up here. Turn off his light.
Shall we close the door?
Yes, leave everything just as we found it. If he finds out that we've been snooping around up here, he may not like it. He's very peculiar.
I know, but certainly he'd want us to hunt for him if he thought we were worried. If we thought he was lying up here, dead.
He doesn't like people prying into his affairs.
That's true.
Yeah, we're looking this upstairs library. If he's not in there, well then, means he's not here in the house.
Yes. What was that?
Sounded like a moan.
Yes, it did. Mr. Davidson, where are you? Mr. Davidson?
Mr. Davidson, where are you?
Oh, he's not here in the library.
No, it sounded as if it came from downstairs.
Yes, I guess it did. Hurry, let's get down there.
Yes. Mr. Davidson, where are you?
He's not here in the living room.
No, but we heard a moan from somewhere.
Sounded like it.
Mr. Lamont, look. Look, do you see what I'm pointing at?
Where?
That book on the table. It moved. It moved all by itself.
What?
It did. I saw it. I saw it. It moved from one side of the table to the other.
Nonsense. That's impossible.
My eyes aren't playing me tricks that badly. I saw it move. Come over here. Look, you see where it's been lying?
Imprint in the dust.
Yes. Now it's over here.
Wait a minute. This is getting a little too deep for me.
Oh.
Benson, what's the matter now?
I felt that touch on my hand again. I did.
Hey, there is something queer going on in here. Look. Look over there at the window. You see that?
Yeah.
It's like someone was touching those drapes and making them move.
Yes. Mr. Lamont, let's get out of here. Let's get out. Hurry.
Right.
They couldn't see me. They couldn't hear my voice. Isn't there anyone who can hear me speak? Oh, if you know how badly I needed help, how hard I tried to make them hear me. You people who are of the world and know it. You who can step to the mirror, look at it, and see your face and body reflected there. Oh, how thankful you should be. Just a few moments ago, I managed to propel myself to the mirror in the hall. I looked into it. I stood directly in front of it. There was nothing there. I have no face, no body, no arms, no hands. And yet a sound came from whatever it is that I am, like a moan. My lawyer, Mr. Lamont, and my bookkeeper, Mr. Benson, came rushing down the stairs. I could see them. But great heaven, they couldn't see me. I called out, "Help me! Help me!" But they went out the door, slammed it shut, left me here alone. Oh, doomed to what? Isn't there anyone who can tell me what's happened to me? 2 days ago, yes, I can still reckon days, I left the office and went to the club. It was about an hour before dinner. I sat reading the paper. Suddenly all the letters began to jump and dance before my eyes. I distinctly heard something whispering in my ears.
Go to your house. Go to your house.
I threw down the paper. No one seemed to be watching me. I was so frightened I felt I must be ill. But I couldn't tell anyone in the club. There was a buzzing in my ears. And I could hear that voice saying,
"Go to your house. Go to your house."
I walked out the door down the street. Some power seemed to be forcing me to go. I walked fast. I approached my house. I haven't lived in it since my wife died. I looked up at it. It seemed to be weaving back and forth. Black clouds hung over it. I walked up the steps. I reached the outside door. Mechanically, I took the key from my pocket, inserted it in the lock, opened the door. I stood inside. Now, why was I here? Why had I come to the house? I didn't know. I walked into the living room. Suddenly, I felt a great rush of cold wind. It engulfed me, whirled round me, seemed to be wrapping itself about me. Help! Help! What is it? Help! Help! My body is freezing. My blood has turned to ice. Help! 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 I can't move! I can't. Couldn't move. The room seemed to be bathed in a purple twilight. was then that I realized that I no longer had a physical body. I seemed to see everything in the room but myself. Look down at your hand and arm. Realize what it would mean to have the feeling of it, but not be able to see it. Can you imagine such torture? I can make things move, but I can't see the hand that moves them. Oh, horrible, terrible calamity that has befallen me. How long am I going to go on like this? What sort of a world am I living in? In the purple shadows between this and the next? Someone have mercy on me. Help me. Great heaven, someone help me.
Mr. Benson.
Yes, Mr. Lamont.
Before we go into the next room to talk to Mr. Davison's niece, I think there are a few things we should settle between us.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday ended a year since the disappearance of Mr. Davison. There's no doubt about it. He's dead.
He must be, sir.
He was kidnapped, which I'm inclined to think happened. Kidnappers must have gotten frightened and killed him.
There were no ransom notes received?
No, because they became frightened after they killed him.
But his body?
Don't know what they did with it. It's possible that though we dragged the river, it's still there. We've gone all over that before. That isn't what I want to talk to you about. It's his house.
Yes.
Police have been through it dozens of times since the day last year when you and I went through it.
I know they have.
If they saw or heard anything peculiar, they failed to mention it, as far as you and I are concerned.
I've never mentioned what happened to a soul.
Nor I. It's been so long now, I wonder if it could have been true.
I often think the same thing.
According to Mr. Davison's will, the house and part of his estate is to be deeded to his niece, Loretta Hathaway. She and her husband are in the next room. I think it best, Mr. Benson, that we never tell her what occurred to us that day.
I agree.
She and her husband are not wealthy. Money in the house would be very welcome to them. We shouldn't spoil it for her.
No.
All right. We'll go inside now and read the will to them. Mr. Hathaway will take over Mr. Davison's business. I think you'll find him a nice man to work for. Come. Let's go inside.
Dan, you think you're going to like it here in this house?
It almost seems to be too grand for us.
I know it. Weren't you surprised to find out that Uncle Jim had willed us so much? Business, half his money, and this house?
Well, rather. But then, of course, there was no one else for him to leave it to.
I know. Dan, have you ever thought he might have committed suicide?
No. I never thought that.
Mother said he wasn't always as peculiar as he was during his last years.
What do you mean?
Well, I remember her saying that it was after he built this house and he and Aunt Mary moved into it that he began to change.
You know, there's something about this place that would make anybody change.
Now, what do you mean?
What I mean, Loretta, is that, why, it's so blame cold in here.
The house has been shut up for over 3 years, Dan.
I know, but it's warm outside. This house is like an icebox, and we've had the windows open all day.
It'll get thawed out in a few days.
I hope so.
I suppose we better retire. You take charge of the office tomorrow, don't you?
Yes.
Poor Uncle Jim. I still keep thinking that he may have committed suicide. I've often wondered if they went through his desk and things to see if he left any notes.
Oh, yes, they've gone through his things dozens of times.
Dan?
Yes?
It was 3 years ago that Aunt Mary died, wasn't it?
Oh, about that.
She took an overdose of sleeping powder by mistake. And 6 months after that, Mother died. Then Uncle Jim disappeared. A lot of tragedy in one family in a few years, isn't it?
I wouldn't dwell on that, Loretta. What are you doing?
I just thought I'd go through this desk to see if I could find anything that no one else has discovered.
I wouldn't look through those things tonight. Let's go upstairs.
I will in a minute. Dan? Dan, come here.
What is it?
Look at this. Look at this writing.
Well, what is it?
That's what I'm asking you.
Just purple marks on a piece of paper.
I know, but what peculiar marks. Like they were made with a fingernail and written in some foreign language. What do you suppose it is?
I haven't any idea. It's probably been there for ages. If it had any significance, the police would have used it.
I know, but it's lying right here on top of all these papers. As if it had been dropped here just recently. Dan, feel of that paper. It's ice cold.
Yes, it's like everything else in this house. Oh, come on. You can rummage through that desk tomorrow. I'm going upstairs. Do you realize it's nearly midnight?
Dan! Dan!
For heaven's sakes, what is it?
Look! Look! See that window blind? Look at it.
it's moving.
Yes. Look. Look at it. It's moving up and down all by itself.
I see what it is, Loretta. There's something the matter with the roller. You've seen that happen to window curtains before. They fly way up to the top or way down to the bottom of the window when the roller's broken.
But, Dan, it was just as if some unseen hand moved that window curtain. That's what it was like. Some unseen hand moved that curtain.
Loretta and Dan see strange things, too. Can it be that Davison is still trying to make himself known to the people in his house? The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
Now, the hermit again.
Midnight in the house. Loretta and Dan are sleeping, but not... Well, listen.
No, I am not sleeping. I never sleep. You know that I've been wandering in this, my house, for over a year. Living in hideous torture. Oh, I've tried to make someone understand, but it's useless. They only grow frightened, as Loretta did earlier this evening. But she didn't get frightened enough, no. I'll tell you why, what I've discovered in these long, endless hours that I've spent here. There's something strange about this place. Something horrible. You hear the wind? It's beginning again. About midnight every night, it springs up. There's a queer purple glow over everything. And the cold sears me all through again, penetrating to my very marrow. I know. I have no form that you can see, or I can see. But I can feel pain just the same. Such pain as you never dreamed of in your normal world. Loretta and Dan will suffer the same transformation as I have if they don't get out of this house. I've been convinced for a long time now that it must have been true that my wife, Mary, realized there was something wrong in this house. That's why she took the sleeping powders that night. She took her own life through fear. But why didn't she warn me so that I could die? For as it is now, I may go on suffering like this for ages and centuries. There may be thousands of houses all over the world that are under a spell like this one is. There must be other people living in this strange world like I am. Here it comes again. This wind that lives in this world of purple shadows. I've got to warn Loretta and Dan. I've got to get them out of the house. I must propel myself up the stairs and open the door to their room. I'm climbing the stairs now. I can see in the night. I can see everything but myself. I think my hand is touching the banister. Now, I'm at the top of the stairs. I must open the door to the room. Oh, that wind. It's making me suffer such pain. I must warn them. Loretta. Loretta. She doesn't hear me. Loretta, you must get out of here. Loretta.
Oh. Oh.
She's turning in her sleep.
What is it? Dan. Dan, wake up. Wake up.
What?
Wake up, Dan.
What'd you say?
Wake up. Look, there's a strange light in this room. And where's the wind coming from?
Loretta, get out. Get out of this house. It's going to be too late.
There is a strange light in here. Turn up the night lamp.
It doesn't seem to make any difference. The light is getting stronger and stronger. And the wind is raising me, raising my blood.
Loretta, I feel it too. Let's get out of this room.
Help. I can't move. I can't move.
Loretta, I can't move either. I'm powerless.
Help. Someone help us. Help. I can feel my whole body changing.
Loretta, what's happening to us?
Dan, help me.
I reached out for you and knocked over the lamp. Loretta, I can't see my hand anymore. I can't see my arms or my legs.
Look. Standing in this room. It's Uncle Jim.
Jim Davison.
Yes. You see me now. For you're changed the same as I am.
What's happened to us?
We've entered a strange world. This house, it's under some horrible spell. I've been in these shadows since the day I disappeared.
Uncle Jim, is there nothing we can do? Nothing?
There is our only hope, see? You knocked over that lamp, Dan. This room will soon be all afire.
Yes.
Let it burn. May burn down the house and give us the freedom of death. It's our only hope, our only salvation. Death, give us freedom. Let us get out of this torture. Have mercy. Save us. Have mercy.
What's the news, Mr. Lamont? Did they find the bodies?
They've gone through the charred wreck of that house for hours. There's no trace of a body there.
Well, you think they got out before the house burned? Then where are they?
Benson, I don't think they got out.
But they didn't find their bodies, Mr. Lamont.
They didn't find them. But no one will ever hear of them again.
What do you mean?
It's difficult to explain to anyone but you. Because you and I know there was something strange about that place.
Yes.
I was with the firemen when we went through the wreckage. It was their bedroom. There was nothing there. But Benson, as we were going through it, smoke, of course, was smoldering there. But a huge purple flame sprung up and seemed to lose itself in the atmosphere. It startled me. I stepped back. Firemen thought I'd found something. Of course, I couldn't explain to them. I don't know that I can explain to you. But it was as if, well, as if something registered in my mind. And a voice said to me, "You'll never find their bodies. They're gone. Gone forever."
In the world of purple shadows are liberated forever. They're free. No longer tortured. Turn on your lights. Turn them on. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
All characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in the Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, or occurrences is purely accidental.
Good evening, dear listeners. I am Barnabas Collins. Please allow me to introduce the next haunting episode of Dark Shadows.
It's all taken care of down there. There are no traces of the Evans girl left in that room?
I cleaned it up. There's nothing there.
Good.
What's the matter?
I thought I saw someone out there. David? No. But it could have been a child.
Barnabas, what are we going to do now?
About what?
Well, she's dead. Maggie Evans is dead.
Well, there isn't one much can do about it.
I didn't count on her dying.
Well, no one ever counts on it. But it happens.
I mean, she seemed all right. She seemed like she was going to be okay.
Yes, her death was a surprise to me. But I'm still not certain of the cause.
Aren't you? Well, I'll tell you. We're the cause. We put her through something that no one should have to go through. I've done rotten things in my life, but nothing like this. I hate myself for it.
And me? Do you also hate me?
You know how I feel.
Yes, I do. Take care, Willie. I can tolerate only so much opposition.
I just didn't figure this kind of thing would happen. We went too far. Too far.
My existence has rather special requirements.
That girl's death wasn't part of it. You could have gone on without her.
I'll be the judge of what I need. If you really don't want to work for me, you know the alternative, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
Your life dangles by a thread. Be careful that you don't put too much strain on it. I suggest you forget the Evans girl.
Yeah, I'll forget. If I can.
Yeah, I want you to go outside. I feel sure there's someone out there.
Sure, I'll go out and look around. And I'll try not to think. I'll try not to think who your next victim will be.
Roger, this is a surprise. Come in, please.
Thank you. I was getting some fresh sea air, and I thought I'd look in on you. I hope I'm not interrupting you.
Not at all. I'm glad you dropped by. Could I give you some amontillado?
Oh, yes, that would be very nice.
Do you come by this way often?
No, it's simply this is one of those evenings that I just had to get out of the house. I couldn't stay there another minute.
You seem quite disturbed.
Yes, I am. There's a situation at Collingwood that's unbearable. I cannot live with it.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. To better times, then.
I don't mean to bring my troubles here to you, but I think it's something that you could understand and sympathize with. It concerns the marriage of my sister.
Yes, I know how distressed you must be.
Well, you and I have a feeling for tradition and family continuity. When I mention Jason Maguire, it has nothing to do with his social position. My objection to him is simply that I think he's dishonest in forcing my sister to marry him.
Forcing her?
Yes. There exists something between them that is anything but affection. He has some sort of hold over her.
I wasn't aware of this. Well, it did strike me as rather an odd relationship, but then I felt it was none of my business. Have you any idea
what this hole is.
No, but it's something of long standing. We've tried to get to the bottom of it. We've theorized, we've tried to figure it out, but we've come up with nothing.
Oh, my encounters with Mr. Maguire have been very few, but I know he's a man not to be trusted.
That is the majority opinion. It's obvious that he's after all of the Collins wealth, as much as he can get.
And Elizabeth can't be dissuaded from this marriage.
Well, she's been the target of many speeches by all of us. Carolyn has even gone off the deep end in an attempt to stop her. She's threatened to marry some young person in town who is undoubtedly one of the most disreputable people in the entire county.
This has the terrible sound of a family disintegrating.
Well, that's exactly what it is. We all feel so helpless about it.
Well, I don't like to get myself involved in this sort of thing, but if you want, I could talk to Elizabeth.
No, thank you very much, but I don't think it would do any good, and it would just put you in a difficult position.
Is it possible that Maguire could be bought off?
No. Seems to me that he has set higher goals for himself. He's going all out this time.
I see.
I hate to think what would happen to this estate and to the enterprise if he got control of it. We've got our family lawyers writing papers up that will prevent anything like that, but Maguire has indicated that he can do something to keep the papers from being signed, in which case we would be at his mercy.
Not a very pleasant prospect.
Oh, I only wish that there was someone who could deal with him, someone who knew how to handle him.
Well, since the disposition of this property would involve me, I think perhaps I will have a word with Mr. Maguire. I understand him, and I think I might be able to ease the situation.
Would you do that? I would appreciate it.
Yes. Yes, I'll speak to him right away.
Out here.
Looking for someone to play with, but I can't find anyone.
Oh, dear. There isn't anyone to play with. It's late and everyone's home. That's where you should be.
Home? I'm not far from home.
Where do you live?
Around here.
Hey, your mother and father must be looking for you.
I can't find them.
Well, maybe they're home or somewhere near there.
No.
And where are they?
I don't know. I've been looking for them. For such a long time, I can't find them anywhere.
Hey, kiddo, I don't understand you. Hey, are you the one who was playing with David?
David?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. I met a boy named David. I was looking for him, too, but I couldn't find him.
Yeah, well, that's because he's not supposed to play here, and you're not supposed to play here either. Now, nobody is.
I have to have some place to play.
Well, you play someplace else, but not around here.
I wouldn't know where to go.
Look, I'm not going to sit around talking to you all night. Now, you get out of here, and you get out of here now.
I don't know where to go.
But this ain't a safe place, you understand? It ain't safe around here. Now, you better get going, you understand? Now, which way is your house?
I live over there.
Oh, no, that's the old house, Mr. Collins' house. Now, where do you live?
I told you!
Hey, I know what's the matter. You're lost, huh? Now, come on now. It's a good thing I found you. You come with me, and I'll take you back to a town. That's where you live.
No, I live over there!
Oh, I haven't got time to argue with you. Now, you just follow me, and I'll take you back to town.
Hey, little girl. Where'd you go? Where are you? Where are you? Little girl?
Yes, I can see that your interest in the old house would be in considerable jeopardy if the estate were to fall into other hands.
Yes, it might create problems for me.
That's why I would like you to look into the possibility of a proviso in one of the original deeds. That might have anticipated a situation like this.
Well, I look upstairs. Would you mind waiting inside?
Certainly.
Ah, Mr. Collins. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. McGuire.
You appear to be quite comfortable.
Well, these are very comfortable surroundings. One might as well take advantage of the facilities.
Quite so. I understand there's to be a change in, shall we say, family relationships.
Relationships? Ah, yes. Very well put. You're referring, of course, to my marriage to your cousin.
Yes, that's it.
Well, it promises to be a very happy event.
Does it?
Yes, it does. And I intend to take every measure to ensure that it does. You see, this marriage means a chance at happiness for your cousin, Liz. Oh, but I'm sure you've taken that into consideration.
I've taken many things into consideration. I certainly don't want to become a partisan in this situation, because it isn't quite my business.
But I'm very happy that you realize that and said it yourself.
But I'm concerned with your motives.
Oh. I see. You've been talking to the family.
I've hardly discussed it with anyone.
I hope not.
But there is the possibility that I know more about you than the others.
Know about me? Whatever does that mean? Oh, yes, yes, yes. My former friend. Your employee, Willie Loomis.
He's told me very little, actually. Now, I base what I'm saying on the few contacts that I've had with you.
Okay.
And just what is it that you are saying? I am expressing concern for the future of the Collins family.
Oh, well, the Collins family has a great future, I assure you.
I want to be certain that the Collins estate remains as it has been, intact.
It certainly shall.
I hope so. But I'm also concerned that the estate doesn't fall into the hands of an unscrupulous person.
Unscrupulous. Do you by chance mean me?
I'm speaking generally. But there are certain things in your past that give me pause. Things that may have been done in the shadows. That may have not been within the law.
I see. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Collins. If you have any accusations to make at all, I suggest that you come right up. I may even go so far as to suggest that you get the sheriff and make them to him. Because I don't intend to be intimidated by you or anyone else.
Mr. McGuire, your attempts at self-righteousness are amusing indeed.
Oh, really? Well, I'm very glad that you're amused. Because I also am very amused. Very amused indeed at this little game we have going between us.
Game?
Yes, it's called Which of Us is More Righteous Than the Other. Apparently you're very adept at this game.
You're being very elliptic, Mr. McGuire. Just what do you mean?
I mean, Mr. Collins, that I've been taking a long, hard look at you. And I've come to wonder, just who are you? And just what is it that you do? You see, you have hired a former friend of mine. A man whose character leaves much to be desired. And who fills the description of an unscrupulous person. Well, now, I have to ask myself. What does a man like Mr. Collins want with a man like Willie? Why should a gentleman hire a man like Willie? It strikes me that perhaps a man like Willie fits very well into whatever it is that you do. That you need a man like him. Tell me, Mr. Collins, just what is it that you do?
That is my business.
Oh, yes. It's your business. But tell me, what is your business, Mr. Collins? Where do you get your money? I know you're from the foreign branch, and obviously there must be some money there. But you don't have any accounts at the bank in town. I know you don't operate a business.
Yet you go somewhere in the daytime. Every day, in fact. Come to think of it, Mr. Collins, I've never seen you in the daytime. Tell me, just where is it that you go? You know, you're a mystery to me, Mr. Collins. And you're beginning to interest me very much.
Had a talk with your friend McGuire. He's beginning to ask questions.
That's the way he is, full of bluffs.
If he isn't careful, he'll have to be dealt with.
He likes to bluff everybody. Don't worry about him. Oh, by the way, you were right about somebody being outside.
Who was it?
Some little girl. Found a wandering out there. I sent her on her way. She took off pretty fast.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, she must have run fast, because I turned my back and she was gone. Strange kid. Seemed kind of lost. Had no sense of direction. When I asked her where she lived, she kept pointing at this house.
My name is Victoria Winter. A morning wind has cleared the nighttime mist that shrouded Collinwood, and seen from the cliff, the sea and sky share a summer blue that obscures the far horizon, hinting, perhaps, that the boundary dividing earth and heaven has been dissolved. But other boundaries remain. The boundaries that separate a tormented father from his daughter. The boundaries in knowledge that separate mystery from truth. And the boundaries within the mind that separate a young woman from herself.
Can you hear my voice? Can you hear my voice? Don't answer. Just nod. Can you hear my voice? Good. Good. Now just concentrate on the light. Raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. Your right hand. Raise your right hand. Very good. Lower your right hand. Do you know who is speaking? Do you know who is speaking to you? What is my name? Do you know who I am?
Doctor?
Yes, doctor. But do I have a name? What is my name?
Doctor.
Dr. Hoffman. Dr. Hoffman.
Dr. Hoffman.
Good. Do you know your name? Do you have a name? What is your name? Don't be frightened. Just tell me, what is your name? I'm sorry to be so abrupt, but I can't say I'm happy to see you or Mr. Evans and Mr. Haskell.
I didn't think you would be, Doctor, but I still think that Sam Evans' feelings should be taken into consideration.
I am not interested in Mr. Evans. My only concern is with Miss Evans.
I know that's how you feel. But I appeal to you, Doctor, to let Sam Evans see his daughter if it's at all possible.
Would you ask Mr. Evans and Mr. Haskell to come in, please? Thank you.
Afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon, Mr. Evans. This is an unexpected pleasure. You're Mr. Haskell.
Yes, that's right.
I want to see my daughter.
It's a little unorthodox not to notify me in advance. However, my methods are sometimes unorthodox, too.
You mean we can see her?
I think it can be arranged. I must warn you, however, that it could prove quite painful, both to you and to your daughter.
Well, isn't that more or less to be expected?
Pain does not always come in the way we expect. I just want to be sure you are ready for what may happen.
And what do you think might happen?
I don't know. If I knew, I wouldn't have to allow you to see your daughter so I could find out. Mr. Evans and Mr. Haskell are here to see Miss Evans. Would you see that they're taken up? Thank you. My nurse will show you where to go.
Can we both go up at once?
Why not?
Slow down. Tell me, Dave.
No, you two will go on ahead. I want to talk to that Thompson.
All right. And, thanks, Doctor.
Reserve your thanks for afterwards, Mr. Evans. I have a feeling they're going to be a little more hesitant.
You really mean you don't know what's going to happen and you're going to let them go on up there and see her?
I know exactly what's going to happen.
What do you mean?
It'll be terrible. Her, them...
Well, then why are you letting them go?
It's the only way to convince them not to meddle.
Oh, Doctor, they're not meddling. Surely you must understand how anxious they are to see her.
I am not interested in them, only in her. Forgive me if I seem to be without sympathy, but sympathy can sometimes be a hindrance or a deterrent. Looking for the truth. In this case, it is the truth alone that concerns me, nothing else.
The Mummers in the Little Theater of the Air.
Let me out of this room. Help! Can't you hear me calling? Where are you? Let me out of this room, I say. Do you want to drive me mad? Why have you locked me in here? Bruce, where are you? Come here, let me out of this room. Lenore! Oh, I've got to find her, and you won't let me out of this room. Help! Oh, it's no use. No use. I can't get out. No use. Locked in. Windows are locked. I can't get them open. No use. If I could get them open, it's too far to jump. Why am I locked in? Lenore! I hear you calling me, Lenore. I hear you calling. I hear you. But they won't let me out of this room. I'm locked in. Help! Someone let me out of this room. Let me out. Lenore is calling me. She needs me. Bruce, where are you?
Let me out of here. I've got to help Lenore. Let me out of here. I'll break the door down. Let me out. Someone come and let me out. I've got to help Lenore.
I'll close this door so that his calling won't disturb us. There, that's better.
Is that your brother we hear calling?
Yes, Miss Dawson.
Oh.
You don't need to be frightened. If he sounds insane, it's because of the great calamity, the great shock that he's just had.
I understand, Mr. Judson.
I hope that you do, Miss Dawson. For upon your understanding of the case, will his recovery largely rest?
Yes, sir.
You've brought your credentials with you?
Yes, sir.
May I see them?
They're right here in my purse. Just a minute, I'll find them. Yes, here, Mr. Judson.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is right. Miss Marion Dawson, registered nurse. And a letter of recommendation from Dr. Simmons.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I think you'll do very nicely. You look very capable and professional.
Thank you, sir.
Did Dr. Simmons explain anything about the case to you?
Well, not very much, Mr. Judson. He only said that your brother was suffering from shock and that
That's all right. I'll explain the case to you.
Yes, sir.
Before I take you up to his room... Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't been very thoughtful. Won't you remove your hat and coat?
Thank you.
Here, let me help you. Ah. Well, you look even more professional. There's something about a white uniform that does give a person prestige.
I came dressed to go on duty immediately. Dr. Simmons said that you'd want me to.
You did quite right. Now, sit down, won't you?
Thank you.
Now, Miss Dawson, it's my only blood relation living that you heard calling for help from upstairs. My brother, whose life I value more than mine.
Yes, sir.
Last night, we buried his wife.
Oh.
He'd only been married to her a month.
How tragic.
Well, death is not always tragedy. But this death happened to be. For Lenore was not only young, but beautiful. My brother and I were traveling when we met her 6 weeks ago.
Oh?
A young girl, without family, but a charming girl nevertheless. Arnold fell desperately in love with her. In 2 weeks, they were married. We returned to our country estate here. A week later, she was taken ill. Last night, we buried her.
It's awful, isn't it? Well, no wonder your poor brother's mind is deranged.
You have not heard all the tragedy yet. She suffered from a strange malady. Because of it, my brother was not allowed to see her from the hour she was taken ill.
I see.
I could not have my brother's life endangered.
Naturally not.
We allowed no one to see her. Dr. Simmons attended her. When she died, we buried her without ceremony and immediately. I didn't allow even a servant to come in contact with some strange disease which might sweep us all to death.
But you?
Yes, yes, I cared for her. The hours of my life may be counted right now.
Oh.
As well as those of Dr. Simmons. But that doesn't matter. It's my brother Arnold with whom I'm concerned. That's why I've called you in to care for him.
Yes, sir.
And this is the point that you must understand. My brother Arnold doesn't realize that Lenore is dead and buried.
That's not unusual, sir. Many people are like that about death. They won't accept it or believe it.
I've had to lock him in his room, bolt down the windows, to keep him from rushing out to find her.
Perhaps if he'd seen her dead, sir,
well, you forget. She died of some strange malady. That was impossible.
Yes. Yes, of course.
The worst part of it is that he keeps thinking he hears her calling to him. Claims that he hears her voice.
Oh.
That's why he wants to get out of his room and go to her. That's why you'll have to watch over him carefully. Don't allow him out of your sight. Humor him, but guard him carefully. Remember, my brother's life and sanity may depend upon the good care you give him.
I'll do my best, Mr. Judson.
I'm sure you will. You realize that I love my brother. You'll be well paid for your services on this assignment, Miss Dawson. All I ask is that you carry out my orders explicitly. Don't let him out of his room or out of your sight. Now I'll take you up to him. If you'll just come along this way.
Open the door. Open the door, Bruce.
on this door.
It'll be your duty to get him to quiet down. Keep him from pounding on this door.
Yes, sir.
I presume that Dr. Simmons suggested that you give him sedatives.
I'll get him quiet, sir.
Open the door. If you don't open it this minute, I'll smash the windows. I'll jump to the ground. Let me out.
I'll unlock the door now. I'm going to unlock the door now, Arnold. Get away from the door.
Let me out. I've got to go to the north.
Now, step back, Arnold.
Bruce, where is she? She's been calling to me. Why did you lock that door? Let me go to her.
Go lie down on your bed, Arnold.
No, never. Don't you understand? Lenore has been calling for me. She needs me.
Come now, lie down.
Won't you lie down and rest, sir?
Who is she?
Well, this is Miss Dawson, Arnold. She's come to care for you till you're well again.
I'm not ill. It isn't I, it's Lenore. And you won't let me go to her. Bruce, why are you doing this? Unlock the door and let me go to her.
There now, it's all right. Everything's all right. Miss Dawson will care for you. You'll get a good rest. And when you wake up, you'll feel a lot better.
Your brother's right.
I'll leave you now. It's 8 o'clock. I'll have your dinner served in here immediately. If you need me for anything, I'll be down in the library until near 11 o'clock. Then I'll retire.
Yes, sir.
My room is the fourth one down on the right. Call for me if you need me during the night.
I will, Mr. Judson.
Wait a minute. Don't go, Bruce. Tell me where Lenore is. What is it that's wrong? Why can't I see her? Why have you locked me in here?
I've tried to tell you, Arnold. You won't believe me. Perhaps Miss Dawson can explain after I leave. Ring this buzzer if you need to get out of the room. You understand, Miss Dawson? Now get away. Get away from the door, Arnold.
What? He's locking the door again. He's locking us in.
He knows what's best. Now come lie on your bed.
No.
I'm going to give you something so that you can rest.
What's wrong with Lenore?
Lie down on your bed and I'll tell you.
She's ill, and they won't let me see her.
Here. I want you to take some of these tablets.
I won't take any medicine.
I'll get a glass of water.
I tell you, I won't take anything that will make me sleep. Lenore is calling to me. She needs me.
Now take these, please. They won't make you sleep. They'll just calm your nerves. Take them and, I'll tell you about Lenore.
Have you seen her? What is it that's wrong?
Take these tablets first.
All right.
That's it.
Are you here in the house to take care of her? What's wrong?
Lie down now. There, that's better.
You promised to tell me.
Close your eyes. I'm going to turn off the light so that you can rest.
Answer me.
Don't you understand? Your wife was very ill. She suffered from a disease that was contagious. Your brother couldn't let you see her. But now she's out of her pain. You see...
No, she's not dead. I know she's not dead.
It's hard to believe, I know.
She's not dead, I know that. Listen. You hear that? You hear that?
No, sir. I hear nothing.
You must hear it. It's Lenore. She's calling to me. All day she's called to me. All last night, all the hours of the night she's called to me.
I need you, Arnold.
She's calling now. Can't you hear her? She's still in this house. She's not dead. She's in this house and she's calling to me. Calling to me.
Right here beside your bed.
What's happened?
You've been asleep.
Asleep? How long?
It's nearly midnight. You've been sleeping since I first came into the room.
You gave me medicine. You forced me to sleep.
You needed the rest.
Where's my brother?
He's retired, sir. The whole house is quiet. If you'd like me to get you something to eat,
no,
I'll...
But I've got to get out of here. What's that? Listen.
What was that?
It sounded like someone at the door.
It is. Open the door. It may be Lenore. I don't hear her calling, but it may be her.
It can't be her. But I'll see who it is. Who's there?
Unlock the door.
I have to ring for your brother if I want the door unlocked. I have no key. Who's there?
Who's outside the door? Is it you, Lenore? Why don't you answer?
I guess we must have been mistaken. There's no one outside the door.
Someone knocked at the door.
I think we must have been mistaken.
Listen. There is someone outside. What? They're tapping on the door again.
It does sound like it. But when I called, there was no one there.
Look. Look.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Doesn't it seem to you as if the door was slowly opening?
Yes, it is.
It's like it was opening all by itself.
But the door is locked.
Well, that may be, but that door is opening all by itself.
How can it be?
Oh. Look. Look. Standing in the doorway. It's Lenore.
Oh, great heaven.
Lenore, you're not dead. You're here. They told me you were dead. Lenore, she's leaving again. Where are you going? Wait, wait. She's vanished.
Oh.
She just vanished, but now look. She's standing at the head of the stairs. She's waving for me to follow her. Lenore, I'm coming. I see you.
Stop! Oh, Mr. Judson, help! Come here quickly. He's gotten out of the room. Oh, Mr. Judson, please, please come quickly. Oh,
what is it, Miss Dawson? Well, what is it?
Oh, Mr. Judson, he's gone down the stairs.
What?
Are you sure, sir, that Lenore is dead?
Of course I'm sure. What are you talking about?
I don't know, sir, but a woman dressed all in white just stood in the doorway of your brother's room. She moved down the hall, and now he's gone to follow her. He said it was Lenore.
Hurry. Hurry, stop him. Don't let him get away. It can't be Lenore. She's dead. Dead! Hurry, we've got to get Arnold back to his room.
She appear in the doorway of the room. Eh? The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
Now, the hermit again.
Arnold follows a figure dressed all in white that beckons him out of the house. Nurse Dawson and Mr. Judson follow after him.
Wait for me, Lenore. Where are you going? Wait for me. Wait for me. Lenore. Lenore, I'm coming. I'm coming, Lenore. Wait for
Hurry.
Me.
Come on. Hurry. Come on. There he is. Up ahead of us. I see him.
Yes. Yes, I see him, too.
Arnold. Stop. Wait a minute. Wait for us.
He's running faster.
Why did you ever let him get out of the room?
I couldn't help it. The door opened. I don't know how. She was standing there.
Have you gone out of your mind? How could a door open by itself? And who could be standing in the doorway?
He said it was Lenore.
Nonsense. Arnold, wait for us. Wait. Wait. I don't see him now. Where's he gone?
He turned down that side road, sir. Just now.
He's liable to get out on the highway and be killed. We've got to stop him.
This way. He went this way.
Yeah. I see him now. Arnold, Stop where you are. We're coming.
Lenore.
You must come back to the house, Arnold.
She disappeared.
You didn't see anyone, Arnold.
Yes, I did. I saw Lenore. Ask the nurse, she knows. Lenore stood in the doorway of my room. She beckoned me to follow her all the way down the road. Now she's vanished here in the park somewhere.
Don't you realize, Arnold, that Lenore is dead? She couldn't have stood in your doorway. She couldn't have beckoned you out of the house. She's dead.
She wouldn't speak to me. She just waved for me to follow her. And now she's gone.
We must get my brother back to the house, Miss Dawson.
Yes, sir.
Now, come, Arnold. We're going home now.
We'll take you home now, Arnold. You and I must have been mistaken. We didn't see anyone.
No. We were not mistaken. For look. Look. Up ahead of us. Lenore. There she is again. Great heaven. I see you. Wait for me. I'm coming.
Stop him. Stop him. We've got to stop him.
We can never catch him this time. He's running so fast.
No. He mustn't go that way. No. No.
Arnold. Arnold, wait for us. Wait. Look, Mr. Judson. Look where he's going.
I see him. He can't go that way. No. Arnold, stop. You can't go there. No. We've got to stop him. He can't go there.
We must stop him.
Wait, let go of me.
Let go of me. You can't stop me now.
I'll not let you go in that vault.
Let go of my arm, Bruce. You can't stop me. Lenore went in there.
I'm trying to save you for your own good, for the sake of the sanity of your mind. Your wife lies in her coffin in that vault. You couldn't have seen her. She didn't beckon you to come here. It's just a trick of your mind.
I'm going into this vault.
You can't go inside. She died of a contagious disease. You may get it too, Arnold.
Nothing can stop me now. I'm going inside. Lenore. Where are you, Lenore?
Come back out there. You'll only find her lying in there dead.
We'd better follow him, sir. He's likely to faint when he sees her.
Arnold, come out here.
Lord. Lenore.
You see, she is dead. What did I tell you? Now come away.
Oh, look. She's on the floor of the vault.
Come away from here.
I found her here on the floor of the vault.
She's dead.
She's dead now. But she wasn't dead when you brought her here. No. My brother knows that. You know that, Bruce Judson.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. You buried her alive.
You're insane.
Insane, am I? You know I found you out.
Because you find her body on the floor, you think I buried her alive? Why, the coffin tipped over, that's all.
You buried her alive. She got out of the coffin, but she couldn't get out of the vault. Only her spirit could do that. I heard her voice before she really died down in here, calling me. She called to me. But you locked me in my room. And then her spirit came to me tonight to tell me what had happened. Oh, Lenore. Lenore.
Oh, what a terrible thing. You did that to your brother and that woman.
What if I did? What if I did do it? She's dead now, isn't she? Forever.
She fell in love with Arnold,
not me. Now she's dead. Forever. Sure, I planned it, plotted it. It worked out. The medicine I gave her made her sleep the sleep of death. And we buried her alive. We buried her alive. Buried her alive.
Thank you.
the brother who had planned such a heinous crime will live in a world of mad darkness from now on. The compensation for his crime. Turn on your lights. Turn them on. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
Characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in the Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, or occurrences is purely accidental.
Have a good evening, and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwick from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby. Have a happy new year from us at Broken Sea.